This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details of each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Massive archaeology projects are prepared for Caithness in Scotland, and a new study reveals the oldest jewellery in the world. Orkney events for Archaeology Month 2006 are detailed, while far away from Orkney, Bronze Age pyramid tombs are discovered in northeast China. The Stonehenge solstice draws a crowd of 19,000, and in the USA, Seminole is to get a glance at of the last 12,000 years in the area. An illegal building on an ancient Vietnamese site is halted, and bogmen are put on display in Dublin Museum. Finally, Neolithic pottery found at a new Scottish bridge site is examined by the experts. Caithness in Scotland will undergo more excavations and underwater explorations than any other region in Britain over the next few months, with projects looking at Neolithic and Bronze Age cairns, Iron Age brochs and crannogs. One team will reverse the trend and rebuild some stone structures in 3000 BCE style. The remote, sparsely populated region has undergone less development than the central belt of Scotland, and it possesses a wealth of well-preserved archaeological remains, with many treasures yet to be discovered. An initial excavation of the Iron Age broch at Caithness will be led by John Barber of AOC Archaeology Group. A broch is a round stone tower unique to Iron Age Scotland. AOC will also be leading the innovative early architecture research programme in its reconstructions of brochs and Neolithic chambered cairns. Over the past 2 years, the project has built and demolished a series of early structures in controlled experiments designed to help us understand the architecture and engineering of these complex monuments. The project will provide lessons in interpretation and conservation of drystone archaeological monuments for archaeologists across Britain and Europe. At Battle Moss, a team from Glasgow University will be looking at an original Iron Bronze Age cairn and associated stone rows. Earlier investigations in 2003 and 2005 focused on a set of multiple stone rows and a multi-phase cairn that they appear to align on. It was discovered that the cairn underwent at least three phases of use during the early and middle Bronze Ages. Off land, two new exciting underwater archaeology projects will begin. Pioneering surveys of now submerged crannogs, which are artificial island settlements in Caithness, will be carried out by AOC Archaeology and archaeologists from the University of Nottingham. The survey of crannogs in the lochs of Yarrow, Loch Cladder, Loch Watton and Loch Scarmsclate will add a further dimension to our understanding of prehistoric settlement in Caithness. The earliest known pieces of jewellery made by humans have been identified by scientists. The three shell beads are between 90 to 100,000 years old, according to an international research team. Two of the ancient beads come from a cave on the slopes of Mount Carmel in the Levant, the others from the site of Oued Djebana in Algeria. If the archaeologist's interpretation is correct, it means that human self-adornment, considered a manifestation of symbolic thinking, was practiced at least 25,000 years earlier than previously thought. The pea-sized items all have similar holes which have been allowing them to have been strung together into a necklace or bracelet, and all three shells come from the same genus of marine mollusk, known as Nassarius. They were probably selected for their size and deliberately perforated by a sharp flint tool. They represent a remarkable early expression of modern behaviour in the archaeological record. Up until recently, examples of modern behaviour before 50,000 years ago had eluded researchers, even though humans with modern-looking anatomy are known in the fossil record from about 195,000 years onward. This has led some researchers to propose that modern anatomy and modern behaviour did not evolve in tandem. Instead, they argue, a mutation in the human brain may have triggered an explosion of human creativity 50,000 years ago, leading to a sudden appearance of personal adornments, skillful crafted art, tools and weapons. The discovery of 75,000-year-old Nassarius shell beads at Blombos Cave in South Africa changed this idea, These beads even bore traces of red ochre used as a pigment. Now the dates for beads from Carmel and Oued Jabana further weaken this cultural explosion scenario. Orkney's programme events to celebrate Scottish Archaeology Month in September have been released. The events run throughout the month, starting on Saturday, September the 2nd at the Orkney Museum. This includes a seminar titled The Rising Tide, looking at submerged prehistoric archaeological sites. That's on Tuesday the 5th of September in Kirkwall. And the seminar will be repeated in the Sunday School on Thursday the 7th of September. My own dear friend Paul Sharman talks on the uses of soapstone in the prehistoric Northern Isles on Wednesday the 13th of September in the Orkney College Lecture Theatre in Kirkwall. Prehistoric Orkney and the Challenge of World Heritage Sites is examined by Caroline Wickham-Jones. The talk will explore the background and role of the Heart of Neolithic Orkney World Heritage Sites. After the lecture, there will be a chance for informal discussion over a cup of tea before leaving for a visit to the Stones of Stennis. Your own transport will be necessary, though. And on Saturday the 16th of September at 2 o'clock in the Stennis Hall, followed by an excursion at 3:15 to the Standing Stones of Stennis. Visit the Ring of Brodgar as a Historic Scotland Ranger event and join the Historic Scotland Rangers for a walk around the ring and discover why the area is of natural, historical, cultural and archaeological importance. That's on Sunday the 17th of September. You have to meet at 2 o'clock at the Ring of Brodgar car park. And don't forget to bring waterproof warm clothing and suitable footwear. You can get further information on 01856 841 732. Scale Bay is explained by Historic Scotland's Monument Warden Sheila Grieve to discover some of the lesser-known archaeology of the area. And that's on Friday the 29th of September in the St Magnus Centre, Kirkwall. And then, why not visit Scale Bay and take a walk around with a Historic Scotland Ranger and see some of the archaeology under your feet. That's on Saturday the 30th of September. You can meet at 2 o'clock in St Peter Kirk's car park. As ever, of course, bring waterproofs, warm clothing and suitable footwear. Further information is, as I've said before, on 01856 841 732. Chinese archaeologists have discovered a group of ancient tombs shaped like pyramids dating back at least 3,000 years. In China's Jilin province, the tombs, covering an area of 1,000 metres by 500 metres, were found after water erosion exposed part of a mountain, revealing two intact tombs, while six smaller tombs had already been eroded away, leaving very little indication of their original size. But from the biggest, located on the south side of the mountain, it could be clearly discerned that it was a pyramid shape with three layers from top to bottom. The pyramid's square bottom is about 5 metres long and 30 metres wide, about the size of a basketball court, with an oval platform on top, about 50 metres long and 10 metres wide. The tomb was made of stone and earth dug out from the hill, and then a stone coffin surrounded by four screen boards and covered by a granite top was placed on the very top platform. The tomb are part of the Shi Tuan Shan cultural ruins site, which dates back some 3,000 years to China's Bronze Age. The ruins were excavated in Jilin in 1950. A lot of ancient hunting and domestic tools, including a stone knife, an axe, as well as bronzes and earthenware, have been unearthed from the stone coffin and the other six smaller graves. Thousands of dancing and drumming spectators cheered the summer solstice at Stonehenge as an orange sliver of sun rose over the Healstone on Wednesday morning. Cloudy skies, dense fog and some rain did not seem to dampen the energy of the smiling revellers as 19,000 New Agers, present-day druids and partygoers gathered inside and around the ancient circle to greet the longest day in the Northern Hemisphere as the sun struggled to peek out against the smoky grey sky at 4:58 a.m. The crowd was generally well-behaved and peaceful overnight and in the early morning hours. Wiltshire police arrested two people for drunken behaviour and two others for public order offences. In 1985, revellers clashed violently with the police at a solstice ceremony, resulting in a ban on the celebrations. Following years saw clashes between riot police and revellers, determined to welcome the solstice amongst the stones. English Heritage, the monument's caretakers, began allowing full access to the site again in 2000. Crowds of partygoers stumbled towards their cars an hour after sunrise. One person described the crowd as 5% pagan, 95% party. Once upon a time, it was more spiritual, they said. Well, I have to say, I enjoyed my own solstice up here in Scotland. Mac Perry, author and archaeologist, says Paleo-Indians roamed the Seminole area in Florida, that's in the USA, 12,000 years ago, hunting for mastodons and giant ground sloths. Archaic Indians wove plant fibre into cloth and threw spears at smaller animals 9,000 years ago. More than 20 Temple Mount towns sprung up around the county area 1,000 years ago. And Perry added that six things dramatically and drastically changed the lifestyle of Indians 500 years ago. If you want to find out what these changes were and more about ancient Indian cultures, he'll be giving a talk at the Seminole Historical Society. The meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, June the 28th at 7 p.m. at the Seminole Community Library. It's free and open to the public. Perry's talk, The Past 12,000 Years in Seminole, will describe the seven cultures of prehistoric people who lived in the area. He'll also be showing artifacts. With much construction in the Seminole area, Nancy Barlow, vice president for the society, said that few of us have any clue about the civilizations that lived here thousands of years ago. The central province in Vietnam has ordered a district authority to halt the illegal construction of a market at a millennium-old archaeological site on Con Diep. That's Oyster Island. Con Diep, recognised as a national archaeological site where digging is forbidden by the law and heritage, archaeologists have unearthed 31 ancient tombs containing human remains, stone tools and pottery of primitive people who lived in the area thousands of years ago. In March this year, the district's People's Committee decided to proceed to digging up the ancient history in order to build a new market. Though the construction has been stopped, serious damage has been done to the site, as thousand-year-old relics have been carelessly removed to build roads and kiosks. The Department of Culture and Information is now requesting that the Ministry of Culture and Information recognise Con Diep as a national heritage site, which would ensure long-term protection of the relics. Iron Age men found buried in peat bogs are on display at the National Museums in Dublin, Ireland. The Kinship and Sacrifice, an exhibition of bog bodies and related finds display, has been officially opened by the Arts Minister, John O'Donoghue. The ancient human remains were found in a preserved state in 2003 at Old Crochan in County Offaly and Clonicavan in County Meath. A team of international specialists helped the National Museum to study the artefacts. The exhibition explores a theory that the bog men were victims of sovereignty and kingship rituals during the Iron Age. Objects on display will include horse trappings, weapons, feasting utensils and textiles. Admission to the exhibition at the National Museum on Kildare Street is free. And remember, if you're in the UK, keep an eye out on the Badger calendar, which hosts a large number of events, exhibitions and conferences throughout the year. Archaeologists have uncovered what they believe is the broadest range of elaborately decorated prehistoric pottery ever found in Scotland, at the site of a new Kincardine Bridge. The discovery shows that large groups of Scotland's first settlers crossed over the River Forth at the site of the new bridge up to 6,000 years ago. Excavations have uncovered prehistoric settlements dating from around 4,000 BCE, when hunter-gatherers, who previously moved along Scotland's coasts, established the first permanent communities. Other finds included ceremonial and working axes made with stone from the Ochil Hills. The finds demonstrate just how far the River Forth has receded, as the highly cultivated site, which is 3/4 of a mile inland, was once on the waterfront. The Scottish Executive has commissioned Headland Archaeology to carry out the 4-hectare excavation, which finished in April. Trevor Cowie of the National Museum has said that this is the first assemblage of such quality and quantity from a Neolithic settlement. The amount of pottery, the size and of the fragments, and the range of decorative techniques is remarkable. It also shows that the shores of the Forth have been settled for the best part of 6,000 years. Artifacts removed from the site are currently undergoing analysis, and I can tell you actually from personal experience they are absolutely stunning. Once again, can I remind you all that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, library, a guidance section, and over 600 courses to be found in Britain can be found on Badger. That's www.pajr.org. And remember, more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you return again next week.